Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Well, good morning, church, and we do welcome you in to a service this morning. Valentine's Day, very unique day, and we'll say a little bit more about that here throughout our message. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5, we're staying in Luke chapter 5 once again. I want to call your attention to verses 12 through 16, which is our scripture lesson for this morning. For those of you who are here, if you want to hold the Bible in your hands, the blue ones are the ones in English in front of you. You'll see it here on the screen behind me. And at home, we welcome you all in that are watching us. Thank you for being with us today. You'll see it here on your screens as well. Let's focus our attention in as we look to the Word of God. Luke chapter 5, beginning of verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely places, and he prayed. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here in your presence this morning. Thank you that we can join our voices to the song that is being sung around your throne right now. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you for that gift. And now, Lord, as we look to your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us insight into what you want us to hear today, that it would be your voice and your words, not mine. Thank you for the gift of your word, that we can obey, we can follow it. It gives us strength, it gives us courage and hope. So Heavenly Father, fill this place. Turn this place into holy ground because your presence is here, because your voice is being heard, because your word is being preached. And I pray that in a miraculous way that only the Holy Spirit can do, that minds and hearts and souls would be touched and refreshed. We love you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus who makes all of this possible. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, church, welcome in. Again, a very unique Sunday because it's Valentine's Day today. So there's a bunch of people out on the streets with balloons and with flowers and whatnot. So for the gentleman out there, if you forgot, don't worry. You have plenty of help up and down the streets of Miami today to make sure that you are in good graces with your wife and your partner. It's interesting how God does things, right? We're looking through this sermon series through Luke, and we're calling it Next Steps because we talked about restarting ourselves all of January, kind of let's take 2021 after the mess of 2020 and let's kind of lay the groundwork for a new start, for a new beginning for all of us. So we did our restart series, and I'm not going to go through that again. We did that last week, but I encourage those of you who are joining us today for the first time or for those of you who are online joining in, feel free to go back and take a look at those. We looked at John the Baptist. We looked at the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then we saw Jesus in Luke chapter 4 who steps into the synagogue and gives us just a beautiful view of what the gospel is. So we entitled this next series, Next Steps, and we're going to look through the gospel of Luke on our way to Easter. Why? Because the gospel of Luke is unique. The gospel of Luke gives you a lot of one-on-one moments with Jesus. And so you have these very intimate and very sometimes intense, as you saw here, encounters, and you see Jesus in a different light. It's not just him kind of standing at a distance, kind of talking and preaching. It's really him in action, and that's what I really wanted us to enjoy and to be refreshed with, and also to help kind of build ourselves up again throughout 2021. We've talked so much about the mustard seed, which we handed out throughout the entire month of January. This is yet another little bit of water onto that seed to continue to grow the kingdom of God within us. So let's talk about leprosy for a second. Let's talk about where we are. I think we have a map for you. When Jesus begins his ministry, he is here in this area. For the last 2 weeks, we've been right here around the Sea of Galilee. This is northern Israel. Jesus grows up in Nazareth, which is just the area right above the lake. And this is where the disciples are called, and a lot of activity takes place around here. This is where we saw the miracle of the catch of fish last week. And again, a lot of the ministry taking place. Now, this particular encounter, we do not know where it happens, but coming out of the miracle of fish, it's happening somewhere along the Sea of Galilee. Let me remind you that in the time of Jesus, there's about 9 towns around this particular gigantic lake, 13 miles across, long, 8 miles wide. It's a massive body of water. You can't see the other side. And there's these towns all the way around, no less than 15, 17, 18,000 people per. So there's 100,000 people plus living around that lake right there. The ancient world is not as small as we think it is. So with that said, thank you upstairs, folks, for that. Let's step into the text today. Leprosy. In the modern world, we don't see it as much. You still see it in parts of Asia, parts of Africa, but it's pretty much been eradicated almost at this point. For our purposes here, let's just break it down into 2 very big pieces. There was the leprosy, which was basically just a really bad skin disease, right? Your skin didn't look right. You could cover up and you were not contagious or anything. And it was okay as long as you wore a nice outfit over. Nobody could tell that you had this very bad skin disease. A bit of discoloring, just kind of damage to your skin. Now, the other leprosy is the one that we're dealing with here. The other leprosy was the one that began as a spot on your skin. And then from there, it kind of began to open and to spread, and it would eat your flesh away. Eventually, your extremities went numb. You could not feel your fingers or your toes. You would lose all feeling in your ears, nose, and even in your eyes. You lost the sense of pain. So, for example, if a leper was off on the outside of town, which was where they had to live, and he's baking himself a little bread around a fire or cooking himself a little fish around a fire that someone maybe gave to him or he was able to purchase at a distance, he wouldn't feel the heat of the fire, so he would probably burn himself and maybe destroy and cause damage to his hands because you just couldn't feel anymore. And eventually what began to happen was your fingers fell off, your toes fell off, you had a stump for a hand, your nose would fall off, your ears would come off, you started to have gaps in your skin, you were exposed, you had holes, and you would ooze kind of this nasty stuff, this nasty kind of film from your body. So this is the kind of man that we're dealing with here. How do we know that? Because the text tells you he is covered with leprosy. In other words, the disease has run its course. And when you say covered with leprosy, what the text wants you to understand is that this individual who has come to Jesus is basically a monster for all intents and purposes. Our language would call it probably a hideous sight. It's probably the best way to describe this individual. We're not demeaning them. We're just stating what it is and what it would have meant in this culture. Now, the Bible deals with this kind of disease. When Israel comes out of Egypt, she receives the commandments at the foot of Mount Sinai, not only to obey and follow God, but also how to be a society. And so within Leviticus, in chapter 13, 14, is how you deal with leprosy. The first thing was you banish them outside the camp. So if you go back and read Leviticus 13 and 14, and you see outside the camp, don't get confused. Remember when Israel is receiving this word from God, they are literally living in tents, making their way through the wilderness to the promised land. So these individuals lived in their own little set of tents outside of the larger gathering of the million or so tents that compose Israel, hunkered around the tabernacle in the middle. So the first effect that this caused on these people was isolation. You were alone, completely alone. You didn't have your family anymore. If you had young kids, old kids, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what kind of business person you were or not. You lost everything, and you were banished, and you were alone. You were exiled outside of the camp. The next thing that happened was that you were labeled. So part of what the law says there is that you have to yell, unclean, unclean, every time you come close to a group of people. So imagine if you had to walk into a store or kind of walk down the street, and if someone is crisscrossing with you, imagine you yelling, unclean, unclean. This was the label that was slapped on you. Now, it goes a little deeper in terms of labels because the word unclean has the religious connotations attached to it. And so you couldn't be part of the worship of Israel. You couldn't go offer sacrifices. You couldn't even step into the larger gathering of tents. When you fast forward to the time of Jesus, you could see the temple from a distance, and that's as close as you would ever get. Remember, their concept of God was that God was over there. God wasn't out and about as we experience God today through the Holy Spirit, Christ the Holy Spirit. For them, it was really contained to the temple. For Israel, it was really contained to the tabernacle. So you were completely cut off, excluded from the religious life of your nation and your country. And then what began to happen as a result of those two was that these individuals were hated and they were feared. And then eventually, they began to hate themselves and fear themselves because of the damage that they could possibly cause to other people. This was the life of a leper. And you shouldn't be surprised when the scripture uses this as kind of a way to describe sin, right? What did you do that you deserve this? That's a very common thought in the ancient world in scripture. But it was a theologian called R.C. Trench who really kind of honed it in for us when he said, this man and this disease is the best way to describe us without Jesus. That's what our sin looks like. This is what we look like on the inside to a holy God looking down on us when you pull back the curtain of our humanity without Jesus. We are broken down. We are falling apart. We are oozing darkness. And we are this hideous sight. And God looks down and says, where is the beautiful creation that I made? Obviously, Adam and Eve destroyed it. And so this is a beautiful picture of us. This is why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 says we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Because even though this individual that comes to Jesus is alive, he's dead for all intents and purposes. And so the Apostle Paul says, that's us. You know, without Christ, we are the walking dead. And if you look into the heart of the human being, the darkness and the sin that's there, this is what you see. But this man more than likely heard about Jesus speaking in the synagogue. And this man, more than likely, because gossip got around just as fast in the ancient world as it does now. We just do it by text messages and Facebook, right? They did it by talking. Same thing. He heard about the miraculous catch of fish. And he probably heard about Simon, Peter's mother-in-law, being healed of a deadly fever. And this is a man who, looking at himself and all the pieces that are missing, no mirrors to see yourself, but he can kind of get a glimpse of himself, realizes that he is at his dead end. He is aware of his condition. He is aware that he can't help himself. He is aware that there is no one who can help him, and this is it for me. And so my only recourse, the one last step that I can take, is to go see this young Galilean preacher, carpenter guy who seems to be doing some special things, and people are beginning to whisper that he might be the Messiah. Let me connect you to two things here. When we started our restart series, what did John the Baptist tell us first? Repent. See yourself for what you truly are and turn to your God and turn to your Savior. Run to him. And then 2 weeks ago, what does Jesus read? The first thing out of the Isaiah scroll, the first line quoting Isaiah is, I have come to bring good news to the poor. Not poor people, the poor in spirit. Those who see themselves for what they truly are. Those who see the darkness. Those who see the sin. Those who see the shortcomings. So you are seeing scripture coming to life right before your very eyes. This man is living out. Luke chapter 4, this man is living out John the Baptist's message. And in other words, he is ready for grace. Church, I tell you again, and I need to remind you because we have this wired into us for some reason. And a lot of your friends, and maybe even you wrestle with this as well, that people are under the impression that in order to walk in through these doors, they need to have their act together. And Jesus is actually saying the opposite. He is saying that this is the hospital. This is where you come to get better. This is where the doctor is waiting for you. This is where you come to be restored and healed. You do not have to get your act together, like our world says, to walk in these doors. Your act is put together in here. That's what Christ is preaching. And this is such a great picture of 2 weeks ago When this man, aware of his condition, aware how he's falling apart, aware how he's almost not even a human anymore, says, I have no other recourse. I need to go see this Jesus. Jesus says, that's being poor in spirit. When you realize that you have nothing to give, when you finally looked in the mirror and you realize who you really are, and now you have no other recourse but to come to me. What does it say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus is not scolding you. Jesus is not getting mad at you. He's not kicking you out. He's saying you are blessed. When you finally realize that, you are knocking on the door of the kingdom of God. It's the opposite. The opposite. So please don't ever let that thought of, I need to get it together. No, you get it together here. The healing happens here. So the first point that we're making is, save me.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.